today. If you'll look there with me, Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10 lists all these various plagues that came upon Egypt. Moses is appealing to Pharaoh to let the people go. And the ninth of the plagues is the one we're going to read about here today. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now that's some darkness. Even a darkness that can be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was light in the area where the children of Israel lived, an area called Goshen, that all of the plagues that fell upon Egypt, that one little region of Goshen that was given to them. Remember, we were talking about Joseph in recent services, and Joseph was able to provide for his family this wonderful place. Pharaoh said he was so impressed with what was going on and how that God was directing and bringing Joseph's family back to Egypt, and that he said, we're going to give you this fruitful land, this most fertile land. It was the land of Goshen. And in that area, when all the lights went out, when everything was dark, there was still light in Goshen. Praise God. Glory to God. It's back in August of 2003 that there was a large portion of the northeastern part of the United States that went completely dark for 2 days. It was a blackout. 55 million people had no power. And it affected New York City. It affected Detroit. It affected other major cities like Cleveland, Akron, Toledo, even in Canada, Ontario, in New Jersey, and like I said, 55 million people without power, completely dark for 2 days. It was in August, so the temperature was 90 degrees. So people were, instead of being inside of their homes or inside of their hotels in the big cities, it was reported that people carried their pillows out and slept on the sidewalks because it was so hot in the hotels. The airports were closed. The subway, the Amtrak was closed. No phone service, no cell service. Times Square, if you've ever been to Times Square, it's lit up 24 hours a day. The brightness of all the lights and all of the screens and everything was black and dark in New York City. They said it was so dark that people in those cities were able, during the night, they were able to go out and see the Milky Way and orbiting, those satellites that were orbiting became visible to the naked eye. That's how dark it was. People were, as I said, sleeping outside because of the heat of the temperatures. One tourist that was in his hotel decided to try to open up a window, and he couldn't get it open, but he noticed across the street that there was a hotel that was all lit up. And so he was curious and left and walked across the street and stepped into this hotel, and it was air conditioned, nice and cool. The lights were all on. Everybody was having a good time. Music was playing, and as if nothing had happened, And so this tourist went to the manager and said, "What's going on? Why is it so black and dark everywhere in the city, but you've got the lights on and everything is normal inside of this hotel?" And the manager said, "Well, when this hotel was built, it was built with backup generators, gasoline generators. And so as soon as the power went out, all of our generators kicked on. And we just are going on just as if there was no power outage at all. They weren't affected by the blackout at all. What was going on the outside was not affecting them on the inside." Praise God. What a wonderful picture it is of the situation of the children of Israel, who were provided this wonderful place of blessing in the land of Goshen. Because when the plagues fell upon them, they didn't suffer any of the plagues. Only the Egyptians outside of that little region, they suffered because of what was going on. But while they stayed in Goshen, the lights were on. Praise God. It really highlights a wonderful truth. Actually, the word Goshen means to draw near. To draw near. And it's a wonderful lesson to us of the importance of being in the presence of God, being close to God, being protected by this wonderful provision of the Lord, to draw near to the Lord, to be protected, to be blessed, to be prosperous, to be separate even from the Egyptian world, the Egyptian culture, and to flourish. All of those things were in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I just wanted to take some time in this service today to remind you that as the children of God, the people of God, there's a lot of darkness in our world right now. All around us, there's darkness. But in the land of Goshen, there was a lot of wonderful blessings and provisions, which is a wonderful illustration for all of us, for those that are in Jesus, those that are in Christ. Amen. Amen. The darkness of the world does not have to invade your heart and your soul and your life. Amen. Because we know the Lord, because we have drawn near unto the Lord, because we have this wonderful provision of the Lord. And the light never went out in Goshen, even though the darkness was such an awful thing. Illustrates to us several things that Goshen provided for the children of Israel. One was separation. They were able to maintain their integrity. They were able to maintain their separation from a pagan culture, literally in Egypt. They were able to maintain their worship and their walk with God and their fellowship with God. Folks, we have been called in these last days to be separate. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. He's promised to the people of God his blessing is if we come out and don't try to have your identity in anything of this world, but you're following the truths of God's word. You're living a life that's separated from the influences of the world. In that place called Goshen was blessing. The land was, it's the most fertile region of Egypt. And in that place they prospered. As a matter of fact, by the time of Moses' day, they had prospered so much that Pharaoh was becoming concerned that the children of Israel were going to be a threat to the Egyptians, because God had blessed them and blessed them, and they'd grown and grown. Let me tell you, when you are in Goshen, or you are drawing near to the Lord, there is the blessing of the Lord, there is the help of the Lord, there is the favor of God, and you can trust that God is going to be faithful to help you. Not only that, but it was a place of protection, because all of these plagues that came upon the Egyptians, they were protected from every one of them. Praise God. There's a place of safety When you draw near unto the Lord, when you're living in the spiritual land of Goshen, there is a place of protection and God's blessing and provision for us all. Amen. It says that when the plague of darkness came, it was so dark that it can almost be felt. Do you understand? We're living in some times like that right now. It is so dark in our world right now. It's so dark in our nation and the effect of it. We feel the effect of this darkness. Notice it says they saw not one another. They were completely disoriented. Doesn't that pretty well paint a picture of the world we live in right now? Disoriented, no sense of direction, no understanding of what's right, what's wrong, which direction to take. They saw not one another. It says also that neither rose up from their place. It was like they were prisoners of the darkness. They couldn't move about. They couldn't rise up and go on about their activities or their daily business. They were prisoners. That's what the darkness of this generation is doing to so many people, are held captive by the darkness of this generation. And we're living right now in an extreme time of spiritual darkness, unlike that we've ever seen before, such spiritual darkness. That's the explanation for all the evil that's going on in our world right now. It isn't just a mental illness. It isn't just social or political issues. It is light and darkness. It is darkness. And it is a darkness that's settled in upon our land. I know that you all are familiar with these recent weeks of events. Just a couple of weeks ago, a young lady, 23 years old, got off work, got on a train to go home, and was stabbed to death randomly, stabbed to death just 4 minutes after she boarded the plane or boarded the train. It took 90 minutes for anybody to even come and help her. People were so disinterested, so unconcerned as she was dying there on that. And it's such a picture of wickedness and darkness. Just a few days later in Minnesota, a young kid, 16 years old, goes into a Catholic school at the beginning of the day and shoots 21 people, two or three little children died as a result of this. This is darkness, folks. This is incredible darkness when people do such awful and wicked things. And of course, then we're all so aware of the events of this week and the killing, the shooting of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday, and the awful darkness of knocking out a life, destroying a life, and not just a life, but a life of someone who daily witnessed for the Lord, that daily proclaimed the things of the Lord. Just a few minutes before he was shot, he was talking about the burial, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just minutes before he died, he was taken out by darkness, by wickedness in our world right now that we're living in. It's an awful situation. It's an awful world that we live in. But I wanted to give you a reminder today that as believers that draw nearer to the Lord, as believers that live in the spiritual land of Goshen, that there's always going to be light. The light is on in Goshen. Amen. And we can trust that God is going to be faithful even in the present world of darkness that we're living in right now. John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And so what we're dealing with right now and what happened this week was the clashing of light and darkness. When they come together, there is the clashing, and light will always win. Light will always dispel the darkness. Amen. Many years ago, I was out in New Mexico and visited Carlsbad Cavern. Some of you probably have visited there. It's a cavern that you can get on an elevator and you go down 70-some stories into the bottom of this cavern. When the elevator opened up, there's gift shops, and it's like, what in the world? All this going on 70 stories below the earth. And then they take you on this little tour through parts of the cavern. And as we got to a particular point, they told everyone, stand still, don't move. And they turned the lights out for just a few seconds. I have never been in darkness like that before. I held my hand up before my eyes and I could not see it. That was dark. That was darkness that could almost be felt. Darkness. That's what's going on in our world right now. That is the darkness that is going on in this generation. Why do we have darkness in our country right now? It's directly related to a rejection of the Lord, rejecting God, in opposition to the Word of God, to the will of God. It's this clash with light and darkness that we're dealing with in our world right now. It is a spiritual warfare that we're involved in right now. Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what we're dealing with right now. It's the result of a generation that said, we don't need God. We don't need him in the public place. We don't need him in the schools. We don't need him in government. We don't need him in our courthouses. We don't need God. And when you remove God, then there's darkness. There's darkness that prevails. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is blinding the minds, the eyes of this generation, so that they will not be able to see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 29 is a familiar verse to us. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Here's that phrase in the original. Where there is no prophetic word, the people cast off restraint. The people cast off restraint. And that's literally is what is happening in our generation right now. Where the word of God is removed, where the truth is removed, then people cast off restraint. They have no restraint on what they would do. And so now we're living in a world where a younger generation is in an identity crisis. They're in gender confusion. They're facing the threat of suicide. And all of these things that are happening right now are the product of removing God out of the picture. But our hope, and the only hope, is in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. That's the answer. The answer to the darkness is more light. Amen. More light is the answer. So the light needs to be not only turned on, but it needs to be brighter. That means our life, our testimonies, our willingness to speak up for the cause of Jesus Christ, our willingness to declare the light of truth, even in a dark generation. And maybe you live in a community of darkness. I don't know. I do know that right now in the city of London, that there has been a real effort to bring darkness and confusion into the city of London and into our community. And the answer is turn up the light. Turn on the lights. Make it brighter. Let the gospel be declared. in this particular time that we are living in right now. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned just minutes before, Charlie Kirk was murdered on Wednesday this week. He gave testimony to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. The light doesn't have to go out. Amen. And you say, well, they took him out. Oh, yeah. They took one life out. But they didn't extinguish the light. They didn't turn out the light. Amen. So this week after that, instead of riots and burning down buildings and burning cars, there have been hundreds and thousands of prayer vigils all over the country and all over the world. In England, hundreds of thousands of people have been marching in the streets, worshiping God, calling upon God. The light has not gone out. The light has not gone out. It's still burning bright. And hundreds of campuses, Charlie Kirk's, what is it called? Turning Point USA. They have over 3,500 chapters on high school campuses and college campuses. They have been flooded in the last 3 or 4 days, wanting in other schools and other places across the country and the world, wanting to start new chapters of Turning Point. Praise God. Amen. This week, when a memorial service takes place, I think it's next Sunday for Charlie Kirk, they've had to get a stadium that seats over 60,000 people because they know that there are going to be people coming from all over the nation and all over the world. The light's not going out. It is not going out. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. What do we need? We need more light. Amen. We need the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And then later he said, you're the light of the world. That light was to be transferred to every one of us as believers to declare the name of the Lord, to declare Jesus Christ, to declare that he's the hope and the only answer to a confused, messed up generation that have been working out of this mess and this void of no God and no Bible and no truth. But now God is going to show himself strong. I don't know, folks. I'm just convinced that God is sovereign, and can use whatever circumstance he wants to use. And he may use the tragedies of recent days to cause the light of the gospel to be preached and declared and proclaimed in many places they would have never have been proclaimed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Saul, who was in darkness, in rebellion to the things of God, rejected everything about Jesus and about the gospel. What did it take to change him? It took light. It took light. At midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. That was his testimony before Agrippa. It was a light that shone from heaven. That light caused him to see himself, to see the error of his way, the failure of his efforts to try to stamp out the work and the ministry of the church. And then to give to him, he said, to give to me a ministry. What was his ministry to be? Acts 26 and 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Praise God. So what is the call of God for all of us as believers today? Is it to walk in fear? No. Is it to be overly concerned about the darkness that's going on out there? No. Remember, we draw near. We live in Goshen. We're in a place that we're not, the light is not going to be extinguished in our life. The light is going to keep burning. It's going to be bright. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. So how can our light shine brighter? Well, live for Jesus. Live publicly for Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Live a life that honors the Lord. Amen. That declares the name of the Lord. You don't have to be, you know, necessarily offensive or obnoxious. Sometimes the gospel will offend, obviously. But just speak up for the Lord. Amen. And be that light in a dark, dark time that we're living in. Right now, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, and I'm just going over a few verses that deal with this amazing topic of the light. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God has called the church, every believer, to be light in a dark world. And praise God. Many of you, no doubt, have probably watched videos of Charlie Kirk, and I've been pretty amazed. It did not matter where he was. It did not matter who he was talking to. Atheist. It didn't matter. He always declared the name of Jesus. He always proclaimed the name of the Lord. And he said, while he was, I know, no doubt, extremely busy in his life and all the things that he was involved in, but on Saturday night, he turned his phone off. And for the Lord's Day, he had nothing to do with it. Not a bad idea. He turned it off and disconnected. And he spent that day with his family and took them to church and served the Lord. Gave the Lord a day every week. He gave him the entire day. Amen. What an amazing thing to have a testimony that your light is shining. And right now, the message of their family, of his wife, that was broadcast all around the world, glorified Jesus, presented the gospel, declared the name of the Lord. The light did not go out. The light is getting brighter. Praise God. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I just pray that we all will be inspired, that we all will be strengthened and encouraged him. To recognize that as the people of God, God has provided a place of light for us. Amen. When all the darkness is going on out in the world, we have a place. And that place is in his presence. The word Goshen means drawing near. The closer you get to the Lord, the brighter your light gets. The more impact you're going to have, the more powerful our testimony will be in a world that is so dark. Glory be to God. Glory to God. So that's the challenge today. Will you let your light shine? Will you be a voice for the truth of the gospel? Will you live it out every day of your life as a testimony of the faithfulness of the Lord? And God can use you, and he can use me, and he can use every Christian, every believer that is willing to be bold enough to live it out publicly and declare the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truth of the gospel. That, Lord, even though this is a world filled with darkness, it is not going to extinguish the light. It's not going to do it. But, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are able, Lord, to give us an even more powerful and effective testimony. Amen. In these dark days, Lord, that the light can be turned up brighter and brighter and brighter and more impactful in our generation, Lord. Lord, that even all of these dark events of recent days and weeks, Lord, in spite of it all, I pray, Lord, that there would be a stirring in the hearts of Christians here locally in our church and then everywhere, Lord, that there would be a stirring and a willingness to open our hearts to those that need to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, if there's those, any that are here today,